This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you for the weekly perspective for the week ending 3 May 2019. Well, the article I have up to begin with is from Hugo Sinis Price, definitely a man I respect a great deal. And the article is titled World's Monetary Reserves and the End of an Era. I encourage you all to look it up and read the whole thing, but I am going to go through it fairly much in detail. What he's basically saying in this article is that the central bank's monetary reserves are made up primarily of United States dollars, and that the U.S. has been exporting inflation to other countries for a very long time. And we cannot make up, we the United States cannot make up in exports. We just print the money and make up the difference that way. But what the gist of the article is the fact that it peaked in August of 2014, and central banks are reluctant to hold on to any more dollars whatsoever. Central banks basically are saying, enough is enough. So this is a highlighted paragraph here. The explosive growth of central bank monetary reserves that began in 1971 concluded in 2014, after which not even the weight of a $3.6 trillion U.S. trade deficit caused any increase at all in central bank monetary reserves, which actually declined by $479 billion as of April 19, 2019. So what he's saying is that central banks are not funding or holding on to the U.S. dollars, but that money went somewhere. As he points out, here's where it went. Paper money can travel anywhere, but all digital dollars, our bank deposits, live in the U.S. The $3.6 trillion paid out by the U.S. to cover the cost of imports, not covered by us exports, did not physically travel to their owners in foreign countries. They are still in the U.S. in the form of dollar balances in favor of foreigners, both individuals and corporations. So those $3.6 trillion are in the U.S. banking system in accounts belonging to foreigners, but not including foreign central banks. So in other words, again, to repeat, and it's very important to understand this, the banks see what's coming, and again, they have backed off. Continuing, the central banks of exporting countries as of April 2014 no longer regard the dollar as a desirable investment, and this marks the end of an era. The central banks of the exporting countries pass on dollars to subsidiary government entities who purchase gold. The existence of subsidiaries is not reflected on the central bank's balance sheets. In effect, the central bank of the exporting countries regarded the dollar as an IOU of a business that produces an endless amount of IOUs. The creditor countries are looking for cash in these IOUs while they can still retain some value by buying up natural resources in developing countries. Therefore, it would seem likely to see the value of the dollar enter into a secular decline as central banks increasingly discard dollars and go for gold as a desirable factor in their reserves. Conclusions. The heyday for the dollar is over. The world is moving toward currencies redeemable for stated fixed amounts of gold, which will be, in the future, the determining characteristic of various breeds of money, and see human nature being what it is. At some point, a rush to gold may take place and cause the price of gold to go into backwardation. That is a condition where no amount of promises for future delivery will influence the rising price of gold until it reaches multiples of its present artificially low price in dollars. A very important article. I hope you understood it. I certainly would recommend that you read it a couple times and maybe even print it out. This is one of those few that come along now and again that really, at least in my mind, pretty much lay out the truth and the consequences of printing money. It can't go on forever, and there is a price to pay. And it's going to be a very interesting few years in the future. Doesn't mean the end of the world. It's nothing to really worry about too much, but there will be some dislocations. There's no doubt about it. You cannot print this amount of money, this funny money, and take advantage of your other nation states and not have to pay a price in the long run. So just be advised. Next article up is from Zero Hedge. End the game. Starting in 2024, all U.S. debt issuance will be used to pay for interest on the debt. And it starts off talking about how the interest on the debt is up substantially over the same time frame from a year ago. And it goes on into more detail, talking about projecting what this debt cost is going to be in the future. It has a chart, and of course it amplifies it here, saying the chart's troubling because while in 2019 and 2020, surging U.S. interest expense is roughly matched by the other deficit components in the U.S. budget, these gradually taper off by 2024. And in fact, in 2025, become a source of budget surplus. In parentheses, we won't be holding our breath, and I won't either. But what is the real red flag is starting in 2024, when the primary deficit drops to zero, according to the latest projections, all U.S. debt issuance will be used to fund the U.S. net interest expense, which, depending on the prevailing interest rate between now and then, will be anywhere between $700 billion and $1.2 trillion or more. So we would be at a point that all of the money would be used to pay interest on the debt if our interest rates were at a nominal, say 5% or so. But since we've been in this zip policy, and we've, of course, increased interest rates the last couple of years, but one of the primary reasons that interest rates are so low is the big name is given to stimulate the economy. And in Keynesian economics, it does work for a while. It really hasn't worked this time as far as stimulating the economy in a physical sense. It certainly has stimulated the equity markets, and the stock markets keep making new highs, but it really hasn't changed a whole lot on the physical side. But the other reason that's never really talked about is that it really, really helps the liabilities of the United States, because when the interest rates are low, the amount of money that they have to use to fund the interest expense on the national debt is much less than if the interest rates were higher. So it's like a credit card. If you have a credit card that you have to pay 10% interest on, that's far better than having to pay 18% interest. Same amount of money borrowed, but it's a lot bigger payment if the interest rate's higher. Same thing here. I think we all understand that. This is very interesting. I really think that we are going to be in a situation where this will be a moot point relative to the time frame 2024. Although we could muddle along that far. No one really knows when this is going to reach a tipping point where things start to unravel. But there are so many clues that they are unraveling with the trade wars, currency wars, and everything that's going on behind the scenes, not really much talked about in the mainstream financial press other than a higher stock market and, you know, the bond market had a rally and, you know, we've got 3.2% growth and all this stuff that's really more propaganda than substance. Regardless, it can't go on forever. I don't think it's going to go more than a few years longer. And I do think you'll see the precious metals market start to pick up in the second half of this year. And next article up is similar to what I started with. This is from Bloomberg. Central banks are ditching the dollar for gold. And this is something that's been a major theme here of late. First quarter gold purchases by central banks led by Russia and China were the highest in 6 years as countries diversify their assets away from the U.S. dollar. Definitely what I was talking about in the Hugo Salinas Price article. And what he said also in that article, global gold reserves rose 145.5 tons in the first quarter, a 68% increase from a year earlier, the World Gold Council said Thursday in a report. Russia remains the largest buyer as the nation reduces its U.S. Treasury holdings as part of its de-dollarization drive. We see a continuation of the strong demand from central banks, said Alistair Hewitt, head of market intelligence for the World Gold Council. We're expecting another good year for central bank purchases, although I'll be pleasantly surprised if they are not to match the level we saw in 2018. So that's the gist of the article. And I just want to finish off with a little bit on this, my favorite speculation, the Morgan Report. This is for our paid subscribers. But many people are going to realize in the future that a lot of this new, I won't say new gold, but gold and other precious metals, palladium as well, that will be reaching the market will be through electronic waste recycling. Today, over 50 million tons of e-waste is produced annually, and the United Nations is predicting that the number will go to 78 million tons by 2023. That works out to 148 tons of e-waste produced every 60 seconds. Or put this number into perspective, that's enough e-waste to fill over 240 Olympic swimming pools every day, or the total volume of 15 Houston Astrodomes every month. This year alone, the United States will produce over 11 million tons of electronic waste from IT-based components such as computers, laptops, data servers, set-top boxes, and smartphones. There are numerous benefits to recycling these discarded electronics. Our natural resources are conserved, air and water pollution caused by both the production and hazardous disposal of this material is avoided, and over 1.4 tons of carbon dioxide emissions are avoided for every ton of e-waste processed. These end-of-life electronics also contain a significant amount of valuable metals. According to the EPA, 1 ton of printed circuit boards can contain up to 800 times the amount of gold and 40 times the amount of copper mined from 1 ton of conventional ore. That's something to think about, people. This is a very interesting speculative investment that we have outlined for a couple of years in the Morgan Report, and there's plenty of time to get on board. The stock has gone from a spinoff from another company, roughly at 40 cents, spin up as high as $2, bounced down to the Warren excise price, and it's moved back up. And there's an investment bank that's put in a significant investment into this company that is at a much higher level than the stock currently sits. So if you're interested in what I think is one of the best situations I've seen in a very long time, also friendly to the environment, you might want to consider a subscription to the Morgan Report. It's estimated that every ton of circuit boards contains over $5,000 worth of these valuable metals. The annual production of electronics consumes an estimated 350 tons of gold, 7,500 tons of silver, and 300,000 tons of copper and other valuable metals for a total of over $62 billion every year. Yet the UN reports that less than 25% of these electronics are actually recycled. That means that over $46 billion worth of these valuable metals are discarded in landfills every year. This company is changing that. It will change it. And you will learn about it sooner or later, whether you're a Morgan Report subscriber or not. This kind of technology, once it hits the critical mass and becomes well known, it will be a significant improvement for a lot of reasons. And some of those I outlined in this update. I will be back with you next week for another weekly perspective. I got a bit of a cold, you may be able to tell, but I'm doing good. I appreciate all the viewers. If you want to pass this on to friends and family, I would appreciate that as well. And remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.